Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this Mother's Day grew up on the east side of Detroit, was a teenage model and a real estate agent. She became a wife and mother and bore three sons. She's written over 100 poems, the first poem at age 61 entitled My Mother's Hands. She's also known as the mother of MIRA, the Mental Illness Research Association. Her name, Angie Weaver. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're with Angie Weaver, wife, mother, poet, and also the mother of MIRA. Angie, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Yes, we sure can. My childhood is one of seven children. To parents that met, fell in love, and married in the Maritimes of New Brunswick, Canada, and came over just at the beginning of World War II. Actually, it was in the late 20s, during the Depression, and raised seven children in difficult times, but in a very happy home. That home was filled with love and laughter, and the difficult times we didn't really experience or weren't that tuned into, because our parents seemed to take care of all that for us. And it was a time of innocence, the 50s, late 40s and the 50s. We witnessed our parents going through trying times, seeing two brothers going off to war during the Korean War, and how they handled and survived that heartache and worry, and all the tribulations that come to a large family like that. But they set an extraordinary example of faith in God and love. And Mother always made sure that there was laughter in the household. If things became stressful and we were a little down, she would somehow get us going and get us laughing, distract us from our worry and concern. It was my dream home. It was a modest home. It was a home that I see every Christmas when I watch It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart and Donna Reed, because that living room in that movie looks exactly like the living room in our modest home so many years ago. The Christmas tree is even very much like the Christmas tree we had, and it stood in the same corner. And so it's the parlor where Donna Reed takes the phone call from Jimmy Stewart looks just like our parlor. And we had a red chair in that parlor where many phone calls came over the years. And I've written a poem called The Old Red Chair. And it commemorates that moment in time and up to the present. So it was a wonderful time for us.
What did your dad do?
Dad was chief of chemical engineering for what they called U.S. Rubber in those days. It's now Uniroyal. And he worked his entire career there. Traveled for business occasionally, and was consistent because of the type of job he had. We always knew he'd be home at a certain hour, and rarely, but occasionally, had a business trip that took him away.
You thought the world of your mom. You were blessed with a special mom.
Oh, yes.
Back in those times, there were certain attitudes, givens. One was respect your elders. What did your mom say about that?
Oh, Mother brought that up often, and it stands out in our memory. She would say, respect the children. It troubled her to see a mother or a parent humiliating a child in public, chastising a child in the presence of others. And she would always say, respect the children.
Your mom was always a positive person. She would correct you in a positive way. What advice would you give to moms and dads tonight about inspiring their kids, correcting them in a positive way?
Oh, yes. Yes. A mother would always say, if you've made a mistake, acknowledge the mistake, but learn from it and take that disappointment and turn it into an opportunity for change and improvement in the future. And she always held out that promise of improvement. She always held out the promise that things would be better.
You've talked about laughter. Why was she so high on laughter?
Well, I think it had a lot to do with her Irish heritage. The Irish have this way of dealing with troubles and worries by bringing in a funny, humorous anecdote or story to distract you from the worry and the pain. And she took great pride. Years ago, she was hanging up the laundry, and the little girl that lived next door peeked through the fence and said, "Why is it there's always people laughing at your house?" They could hear our laughter on a summer evening with the windows open. And Mother loved that. She was so proud. She'd bring that up quite often.
As we go to a break, Angie Weaver is a world-class poet. So, Ange, would you share with us the poem, A Mother's Love?
I'd be happy to. And I want to point out that this poem was not written by me. In fact, the author is unknown. But it was given to me, presented to me by my son on my birthday. In 1991, I lost that son in 2005, and I resurrected this poem again and found the messages in it that began the healing process for me following his passing. And I want to dedicate it to all the mothers out there who have lost a son or a daughter. A mother's love is something that no one can explain. It is made of deep devotion and of sacrifice and pain. It is endless and unselfish and enduring, come what may, for nothing can destroy it or take that love away. It is patient and forgiving when all others are forsaking, and it never fails or falters, even though the heart is breaking. It believes beyond believing when the world around condemns, and it glows with all the beauty of the rarest, brightest gems. It is far beyond defining. It defies all explanation. And it still remains a secret, like the mysteries of creation. A many-splendored miracle man cannot understand, and another wondrous evidence of God's tender, guiding hand.
That's A Mother's Love. We're with Angie Weaver. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Angie Weaver, who at age 61, one day wrote her first poem. Now she's written over 100. Ange, what's a mom?
A mom is the personification of love in the way that God intended it to be. And so many mothers, I always think of the extreme example of a mother's love when I see the pictures on the television screen of third world countries with mothers walking miles with a baby strapped on their back to get food, a little bowl of rice or water for their children. And this personifies love. Mother is love.
What role does a dad play in making a woman a great mom?
Oh, the support of that mother. the love and support of that mother. The greatest gift a dad gives his children is to love their mother. And our father certainly loved our mom, and she loved him. It was a great experience to witness.
I've heard that before, but why is that true?
Well, the parents are an example to the children, and when when there's a mutual respect, it goes both ways. The mother respects the father as well, and that mutual respect sets an extraordinary example for the children, and there again, it's the personification of love. And love is so powerful. It's an antidote for everything that we have to survive in life in terms of disappointments.
Speaking of disappointments, you bore three children, Marty, EJ, and Matt. And you lost Marty in 2005.
That's right.
Can you talk about Marty?
Yes, I can. Marty was a miracle. Marty wasn't intended to live beyond one day, the first day of his birth on New Year's Day in 1959. And he had a difficult birth, and the doctors said that he would not live through the day. But he lived for 46 years, and I have to remind myself of that fact when the heart gets heavy. Marty surmounted many obstacles. He suffered a brain injury at birth, left him with a mild form of cerebral palsy. But he went on to work for 19 years for Wayne County and became quite a golfer, loved to the sport of golf. And then a few years ago, or a few years prior to his passing, his job was eliminated. He went through a difficult struggle in a tight job market and kind of gave up, went into a very serious depression, and self-medicated with alcohol, to the point where it actually took his life. And it was unexpected, but in the last weeks, we had some special moments together as a family. It seemed like God was preparing us. The last day he was with us, the dog even went up to Marty and gave him a big hug. The dog belongs to my other son. And we always marveled at how he hugged his owner, my other son, Edward. But this time, he went up to Marty and raised his paws where Marty was sitting and wrapped them around his waist and leaned his head against Marty's chest. And Marty called me and said, "Mom, look at Buddy's hugging me." I think of that often. It seems like God was preparing all of us for this day. So I say, and it's on Marty's marker at his gravesite, "A miracle born to us, now an angel watching over us." And I feel that's true.
Time after time, I've heard parents talk about special children as the gift from God, their angel, their inspiration, their mentor. Why is that, Angie?
Oh, they seem to have special gifts. There's no question about it. Marty had an extraordinary sense of humor. He brought so much laughter into our lives. The first time I called his boss at Wayne County, because he was going to be out for a few days with a flu, and the first thing he said to me, though we hadn't met, was, "Do you know how funny your son is?" And I said, "Oh, yes, I know. He's kept us laughing since his early childhood." And he had so many inspirational ways about him and the way he faced the challenges that life brought to him, and faced them in a courageous way, and used the laughter, just as my mother had, used the laughter to soften the heartache and ease the pain that he had to endure over the years.
Everybody goes through highs in life and lows in life, peaks and valleys. You've had some big ones. Mm-hmm. What would you say to our listeners tonight that are going through a valley?
This too shall pass. This too shall pass. I've seen it and I've lived it over and over. And faith, if we can hold on to our faith. I have told my sons as they grew up that faith is like a suit of armor. It protects us from the blows and strikes that life will bring. By this time in my life, my armor is a little dented and scratched up in spots, but it's still there. And the faith, that faith is my strength. And it tells me that things will get better. Things will, and there's a purpose in everything. And I'll understand that purpose, and I do.
You're 61 years old, and one day you write your first poem.
That's right.
The name, My Mother's Hands.
That's right.
Could you share the first poem with us?
Be happy to. My mother's hands are precious. They've stroked with loving care each tear-stained babe within her arms that God had deemed she'd bear. They've toiled till dawn to heed the call. Her love demands she give her all. And as they move with steady grace, a smile of joy upon her face. For through it all, she surely knows the love she plants just grows and grows.
That's Angie Weaver, and I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything is Possible with Jack Rasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
We're talking to Angie Weaver, who's written over 100 poems. Ange, I had breakfast recently with a fella, and he's talking and he says, God never answers my prayers. I ask him for this and this and this and this, and he doesn't even know I exist.
Well, that's where your faith comes in. I proposed the same question to my mother years ago when I was in college, as a matter of fact. I'd had a number of disappointments, and I posed the same question to Mother, why isn't God answering my prayers? Mother said, He answers your every prayer, darling. But sometimes He says no. And she said, you have to trust your Heavenly Father, just as you trust your dad on earth. He's going to see to all your needs, but you have to trust. That's where the faith comes in. She said, sometimes you have to be careful what you pray for. And in God's wisdom and in His holy will, you just have to rely on that. And she was right. She was right.
When we had lunch recently, mm-hmm. you told me, when you are down to nothing, God is up to something.
That's right. That's right. I was going through a very difficult time some months ago. It seemed like everything in my life was just going downhill for that period of time. And I was overwhelmed and sat down at my desk to look over all my papers and to try to make some sense of it all. And this quote popped up. This is how wonderful it is. The good Lord sends us these messages. And I think sometimes they come through channels like my son Marty or my sister Colleen or my mom and dad who are watching out for me, I know. And this quote just popped up in front of me in a newsletter that I had on the desk, and it said, when you're down to nothing, God is up to something. Well, spiritually and emotionally, at that moment, I was down to nothing. And I thought, wow. God is up to something. Things are going to be better. And gradually they have become better. And you realize the value of friends. Friends like you, Jack. And so many friends that show their love and support for me and my family. And there's a richness and a wealth there that money can't buy. And it's our treasure. It really is.
We're with Angie Weaver. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Once again, here's your host, Jack Rasula.
We're with Angie Weaver, who's the wife of Joe Weaver, the famous WJBK editorial director. Angie, you've borne the brunt of alcoholism.
Yes, yes, I have. In my first marriage, an extraordinary man, I met, we were college sweethearts at the University of Detroit, and he was a daily mass and communicant, and a tremendous, extraordinary person, and achieved much success in his life, in his short life. But he suffered from an anxiety disorder. I didn't realize that until years later. And like so many people that deal with anxiety and panic, he self-medicated with alcohol. And it eventually took its toll on his life and affected our family as well, so that I became a single mother when my boys were still quite young, and their father died at his 50th year. So it's devastating to families. It's just especially when the father is unable to overcome this horrendous disease. And we know more now about anxiety disorders and depression that lead to self-medication and alcoholism. We're learning more every day, and that's much of that is coming through our association with MIRA and the research that we support. My heart goes out to families that are struggling with this, and in my own family, my son also found that as a way of, to relieve his pain. He put up a wonderful struggle and made me very proud. I had to keep reminding him of that because he really did keep up the fight. But there came a time when he was drawn down into that dark hole of depression. And in that dark hole, he couldn't see a way out. So he continued until we lost him. So I can't emphasize more strongly the need for more research in this area. And I know there's research going on at the University of Michigan where they're going to develop a wonderful state-of-the-art depression center, which will be complete, I believe, by 2009. And they are starting to see that alcoholism and addictive disorder is a symptom of deeper problems, and often reveals that the underlying problems of major depression.
What would you say to a listener who knows they have a drinking problem? They know AA has helped a lot of people, but Ange, I can't go to that AA meeting. I'm too famous. My pride, there is no way I can walk into that room.
I can understand that. There are AA meetings in other nearby towns where you may not be so recognized if that's a factor. But the AA meetings for some people, for my son, it was difficult because he was very sensitive. He was very sensitive to his own pain. And at the AA meetings, when he'd hear the pain and suffering of the other people in the groups, he carried that home with him. It troubled him deeply and sometimes led to a depressive attitude. So you have to shop for the group that you feel comfortable with. You have to go to more meetings until you find one where you're comfortable, where you feel you relate to the people there. And finally he got to that point, and that did help him for quite some time. And also you need a counseling, a spiritual counselor especially. You need somebody to go to in between those meetings, somebody that's going to just focus on what you're dealing with. And I can't emphasize that more strongly. And we need to improve the laws and the insurance situation, the healthcare situation, so that there's more counseling available for people that are struggling with this terrible affliction.
What would you say to a spouse or a child of an alcoholic?
Oh, there again, counseling is absolutely vital. I can't emphasize that more strongly. One has to have the counseling, the ongoing consultation with somebody whose expertise is in that field and who can see you through it and somehow be a support and a guiding light. Because sometimes it's a very dark tunnel you travel through. You need that light at the end of the tunnel. You get it through your faith, through a spiritual counselor, through a psychiatric counselor, but you need that counseling. It's absolutely vital.
You're 61. You're a wife, a mother. You're very involved with Mira, which we'll talk about in the next segment. And one day, you sit down and write a poem.
That's right.
Where did it ever come from?
Oh, it was a wonderful experience, and one I never expected. I had been dreaming for 3 nights in a row. I couldn't recall the entire dream, but my mother's hands were predominant in the dream. And by the third day, I mentioned to my husband, Joe, "This is strange, Joe," I said. "I keep dreaming about my mother's hands, and I recall just before she died, I took note that they were so tiny. And I said, 'Mother, I never realized before how small your hands are. And when I think of the extraordinary job you did raising 7 children and all the tasks that you took on with those little hands,' I said, 'it makes them so precious.' And she just smiled and was quite satisfied and flattered by that. So I mentioned to Joe that I felt that somebody must have written a poem called My Mother's Hands. So when we return to home from Florida, I will go to the library and see if anybody's written a poem called My Mother's Hands. Joe said, 'Why don't you write one?' I said, 'Well, I've never written a poem in my life.' Joe said, 'Maybe you're supposed to.' Well, my sister had just gone to heaven. Colleen was very dear to me. So I thought, maybe she's up to something. Joe handed me a pad and a pen, and there it was, My Mother's Hands. And I wrote it out just as if it was being dictated to me. So he followed and he said, 'Wow, that's good. See if you can do another one.' So I put down My Father's Hands, and that followed just the same, just wonderful. Joe got very excited and he said, 'Keep going. I think there's more to come.' And they did. We got up to 30 and 40, and they all are connected to memories of my childhood. They're all part of that home life and that life experience with my parents and my siblings. And it was a wonderful time.
And speaking of Joe, mm-hmm. I think his favorite poem that you've done is called Be Kind.
That's right.
Can you tell us how that one came about, and can you share that one with us?
Yes, be happy to. Well, I had thought of what one word could best describe the experience of having my particular parents guiding our lives. And the one word was easy. It was love. The one word that described our life with them was love. And then another day I thought, what two words best describe the message that my parents demonstrated to us in the lives we shared? And the two words came right away. Be kind. That was the way they lived their lives, and that's the way they encouraged us by their example. Be kind. And there was the poem. Be kind in thought and word and deed to everyone you see, and God will someday show you that's the way you're meant to be. A few kind words can heal a heart that carries pain and bring back hope that once was lost, that somehow seemed in vain. You never know whose paths you cross may have endured a tragic loss. For troubled hearts surround us in this world of stress and strain. A few kind words, a smile, can be shelter from the rain. We are members of God's family, so much larger than our own. And how we treat each other can bring peace and set the tone. For a world that knows God's love from kind words that we may say, so we all can join with Him on that resurrection day."
Terrific. That's Be Kind, and that's Angie Weaver. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula, sponsored by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Angie Weaver. Not only does she write poems, but once in a while, she then puts them to lyrics. So, Ange, would you share with us the father of the bride?
They had often walked together when he took her little hand, and looking down upon her, thought how life had been so grand. For God had sent this child, he'll protect her, come what may. How could he not be happy now on this her wedding day? A vision she is, in a cloud of purest white, and he hesitates just briefly as he holds her hand so tight. She looks up to her daddy with that reassuring smile. He'll muster up the courage and he'll walk her down the aisle. He'll pray a special father's prayer that only fathers know, that she'll be safe and happy as she was so long ago. He feels he must be dreaming. He'll keep it deep inside while standing there beside her, the father of the bride. The time has come to say goodbye. He must hold on. He mustn't cry. So he closed his eyes the moment they slipped on their wedding bands and savored memories long ago when he held her tiny hand.
Simon on American Idol would be standing right now, ain't he?
I don't know.
Can I be your agent? Can I be your agent?
Of course. I don't. So I need a lot of help. I know that.
You've composed a book of these poems, and you say that this book is a call to love.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's love?
Love. Well, love is expressed so beautifully in the poem, a mother's love, and then, and there's some phrases in a couple of my poems. One called "Love," the phrase "Love that knows no boundaries," love that knows no boundaries, giving of oneself, putting the ones you love first, always being there for them. The poems express it so well, and I'm so thrilled and proud of them because it's something I've wanted to convey to whoever was willing to listen and interested, and it's turned out to be a beautiful vehicle for that expression. Love that knows no boundaries, giving, loving, sharing.
A huge part of your life has been Mira. Can you talk to us about Mira?
Oh, yes. I'm very proud of Mira. I gave the keynote speech at our first event in 1993. and I said then that Mira appears to be an abbreviation for the word miracle. And indeed, that's what we were searching for. We're searching for miracles of research to unlock the secrets of the brain, to somehow through research discover the cures that would ease the pain of millions of people. And in that speech I referred to the stigma that holds back the research funding, and it's even more difficult today with our tight economy. The stigma is one of our greatest obstacles. And I talked about the millions suffering, and I said, the millions go on suffering their private hells behind a wall of shame and silence. The founders and members of MIRA have set out to break down that wall, and it begins tonight. And that night, the whole room stood up in applause. There were so many people there who came to hear that message. And as I gave the message, I thought of a father or a mother that would be standing way at the back of the hall and desperately needed to hear some evidence of hope. And I hope that I gave them that. And the friends of MIRA and the board of MIRA have worked so hard, and I'm so proud. We've funded much research. We've discovered some lights at the end of the tunnel, some glimmers of hope in the field of in the search for the answers in autism and other psychiatric disorders.
We're in tough times right now in this state. A lot of pressures, you know, moms, parents. What encouragement would you give moms today, tonight?
Well, it keeps going back to the same theme. If we can just emphasize the love and the care and the consideration of our families, we can get through anything. We went through the Depression. At least my elder siblings experienced it to some point, and my parents certainly went through it. And those were very difficult times. And you know, during those times, Hollywood produced many movies of escapism to take your mind off of the terrible war that was going on, followed the Depression. So here again, it's laughter and love and instilling hope in the ones you love.
Can we end with one more poem? She was just my mom.
Oh, yes. Yes. This poem is related to a time when I needed a new winter coat, and mother insisted that even though the coat I wore the previous year still fit me, it was time that I get a new one because I was going into my teenage years and the other coat was getting a little weary looking. And that recollection of her sensitivity to my feelings and self-esteem turned out with she was just my mom. She didn't care for fashion, as she had in days gone by, but for her daughter's self-esteem, she had a fashion eye. To buy herself some style, no matter what the sum, seemed foolish when she thought of it, for she was just our mom. And being just our mom was all she wished to be, to teach us in her loving ways what others may not see, that faith in God and family may not mean much to some, but love and faith was everything, and she was just our mom. We knew she'd always be there when our world would fall apart. Somehow she found a way with words to heal a broken heart. Her wisdom reached beyond the realm of tougher times to come and made our lives so full and rich, though she was just our mom. I know how she would laugh when a saint I thought she'd be and scoff at such a silly thought in her humility. I also know a God who saved a special crown for someone very dear to me who now was heaven bound. He'll shine his light upon her now that her time has come and welcomed her with open arms, 'cause she was just our mom.
Angie Weaver, what a joy to have you. What an amazing and inspiring outlook you have on life. Keep it up.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you for having me.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible.